Welcome to the Gum Guru Podcast. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong with Dr. Macon Singletary. We've got a great show lined up for today. Today's show is entitled The Price of Cosmetic Dentistry. Is it worth your oral health? And Dr. Singletary, it feels like this cosmetic dentistry term has kind of exploded. I mean, I think it's always existed in some form or fashion, but it's kind of become a catch-all for a lot of things. So can you talk about, let's just start with maybe a definition of what cosmetic dentistry should be considered for the purposes of this discussion?
Well, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know, it depends on what you think is beautiful and nice looking. But the cosmetic dentistry is a way of, it's a catch-all term of trying to make the appearance of your teeth look like there's nothing wrong with them. And again, that depends on a person's perception of what beauty is. And that varies from person to person. So that makes it real difficult for the dentist who's going to help the patient achieve those results. And I get second opinions all the time concerning, you know, aesthetics and what to do.
Yeah, and, you know, part of the reason I feel like this has become more and more popular is I think all of us maybe are self-conscious and have things about either our smile or our bodies that, you know, we would like to change or maybe tweak here and there or maybe just completely overhaul. And so I think the appeal is certainly there because we all have those, most of us have those feelings. So what do we need to know? Because a lot of times these decisions can be very emotional, you know, if I'm considering someone a dental professional and they're telling me, hey, I can give you what you need to feel better and to love your smile, that sounds great, but I'm sure there's more to that.
There is, and you know, it is a genetic predetermination as well, Jason. People with square faces have square teeth, tapering face, tapering teeth, oval face, oval teeth, skin tone, hair color. And the color of your teeth is genetically predetermined. Now, there are things that affect the color of our teeth or the shape of our teeth, decay, medication. Individuals who were taking tetracycline because of a sickness when the primary teeth were being formed, have fluorosis and that's another fluoride in the water. Fluorosis is something that maybe makes the teeth look mottled and you're self-conscious about it. But tetracycline gets into the enamel as well, and if you take a UV light, they glow. So back in the days of the 60s, people had tetracycline when they were kids, and they smile, they see purple teeth. But it can affect the aesthetics, and it's not the fault of the individual. It's something maybe they happen to take or a trauma of some kind. And so, with that in mind, whoever the operator, whoever is saying, okay, this is what you need to think about, has to look at that. Facial symmetry. The face is divided into thirds. People in auto accidents. So, and again, it's a subjective aspect. And some people, they want teeth that they glow in the dark. They want white teeth, if that's what an individual wants, they can find somebody to do that. I get questions all the time about, the color of the teeth. And I say, well, yes, there are ways of doing that. You don't want to overdo it because when somebody smiles, you want them to look at your face and not your teeth. I mean, it's like a Cheshire cat grin. You got to be aware of that. And again, some people want that. It's just like, the color of shirt you wear, it varies from person to person. So, but it can be individualized, and there are many ways of doing that.
Yeah, and I want to talk more about that because we've had discussions on the Gum Guru before about implants and, the importance of getting a second opinion and how, sometimes that can be posed as a solution which may provide a cosmetic boost but may not address the underlying issues with why you needed implants, right, referred to you. So can you talk about how, the cosmetic solution may not be addressing the necessary problem?
Yes. And so again, you got, if you are missing teeth or teeth are rotated, the orthodontist can straighten them. Some people have spaces in between their teeth because they lost a tooth from trauma or decay. And so, again, the spacing is important. The position of the teeth are important. And some people come in and they have long teeth because of recession. And they may say, can we, I don't like the way that looks. And there are ways of bringing the gum down to take care of that. But most of the time it's like, I have recession, it's only 2 or 3 millimeters, and when they smile, you don't see it. That's not necessarily a reason to go ahead and have the expense of repositioning the tissue. Now, if they have a high smile line and the tooth looks long, yes, we can work with that. Or extra gum tissue. So there is a dynamic, as I said, facial shape, but there is a length to the teeth as well, particularly the anterior teeth, the front teeth. Anywhere from like 8 to 11 millimeters of crown that's we consider normal. Now, again, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. If we were on Mars, that may be a different dynamic. But here in the United States and America, there is a shape and a form. And so that's one thing that when I look at a patient, they ask me what can be done, particularly if they're taking a medication like Dilantin or calcium channel blockers that tend to make the gums puff up and overgrow. We can trim that tissue down, but it's very precise. And what I have to look at as a periodontist, when I'm removing extra tissue to make the tooth look like what it should look like, I have to understand, what medication they're taking, how do they heal? Do they smoke? What are factors that are going to affect the healing? So when I get done, they like what I've done, but it doesn't come back, or it's in an area that they're happy with, and will it stay there? And then some people say, I don't like the shape of it, or I have diastemas in between, spaces in between my teeth. Well, you can take a less expensive way to go than crowns, which you can determine the shape of a tooth with a crown very easily, and it's computer generalized now. It really makes it look nice, but you can do like artificial fingernails. They're called veneers, and they can put them on the front of the teeth, and I have to reduce the enamel off the tooth, the total tooth, so that if they're doing a crown, these veneers can be cemented on or attached, and they can look aesthetic and maybe satisfy tooth position or spacing, and it's not as an aggressive restorative method.
What other cosmetic tools or processes do you have at your disposal to help patients with their cosmetic concerns?
Well, like I said, the veneers. You can do orthodontic treatment and move the teeth together, and sometimes they'll reshape the tooth a little bit for the patient and move them together. There are the crowns, that are computer generated now and really look aesthetic. And yes, we talked about implants. Implants are, in the right people, are a good option. But the diameter of the implant, particularly in upper front and lower front teeth, as the crown goes toward the implant, the diameter of the implant never really recreates the natural diameter of the tooth. And so there is, it's tricky sometimes getting that gingival tissue to peak correctly in between the teeth. And that's a factor that a lot of people come into my office because of the overtime with periodontal disease, the gum is receded in between the teeth, and they want that eliminated. And so that's where the veneers come in, or orthodontic therapy may help, even crowns if it gets a little bit more expensive. But it can be done, and there are ways of doing before and after photos. They computer generalized look that an operator can say, this is what you look like now, and this is what we can try to achieve with the treatment that we're recommending.
One of the things that has come onto my radar every now and then is the concept of travel dentistry, where folks will maybe go overseas to get some cosmetic work done. What do we need to know about that? And is that something that's common? I mean, I've heard it as kind of a one-off. I don't know really how prevalent that is in your practice that you come across.
I see a lot of it. I mean, I do see individuals come in where they've had crown bridge work. I saw the one yesterday, as a matter of fact, from India. The individual brought his mom in, had a bridge done in India, and it doesn't necessarily mean the bridge wasn't done right. She had some issues with it, retention. And really, some people go to Mexico, and the cost of healthcare in the United States has escalated. And there are individuals going to South America or Mexico or even India if they have connections to have work done. Europe, Germany, and Switzerland are probably, they're very precise and probably the best. I consider United States dentistry optimal and the best in the world. But if you look at research, the Europeans really research, even Korea and Japan, they're very, very specifically want things done right. You know, they go through their research and whatever they do, the products they use, is before they do it to a patient, they make sure it's appropriate. Like the implants, Nobel implants, Dr. Brandemark, he did the implants in animals first. And once he felt like it was appropriate, these osseous integrated implants, he went into the operating room and did an operating room. The original implants, the Nobel implants, were done in a sterile environment, which is sort of crazy because probably the most unsterile area in your body is your mouth. and so he eventually decided, well, no, we didn't need to be in the operating room, you know, a sterile environment. But there are areas where people can go and get work done, and it's fine, but you have to be careful. You know, you make sure that an individual has gone through a program that's certified, and you know, it's not, you know, fly by night kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a lot easier for me to drive up falls and go see you than to hop on an airplane for a follow up. Let's get into the discussion about the cosmetic tools that are often available to us when, you know, particularly let's talk about whitening, because I think that's a top concern for a lot of folks. And what do we need to know about the products that we often have access to when it comes to whitening? Can we overdo it? What should we know with those?
Jason, you can overdo it. In fact, they're different. I used to be not recommend whitening, but there are products out there now that we use in our office that is not as aggressive but achieves the result that an individual patient would want. The deal with whitening is that you have to redo it. And so you don't want to over whiten a tooth because it can make it translucent. And you can take I've seen individuals come in and I put my finger on the back side of the tooth and I can see my finger through the tooth because they've whitened it so much. And it does affect the enamel matrix. And so you want to be aware of the not overdoing it, or going to the mall and having a whitening session in a mall environment, because first of all, it may not be legal. There are individuals who do tooth tattooing with stars and different symbols that are illegal, and they're being shut down. But you can overdo it. You can burn the gum tissue. You can cause recession. So you should do it with caution. Again, whoever is helping you do the whitening should caution you to what degree to do it. And it's just like certain medications that we take, you know, we want to achieve that final bit and we overdo it. You can damage the tooth, you can irritate the gum, and so you got to be aware of that. You got to be careful.
That's great advice. And before we head out, we got to do our action step. So for those who are listening to this episode all about cosmetic dentistry, what's our action step for today?
Well, anybody has a recommendation, you know, has been given a recommendation for cosmetic work, you know, they go in and say, I don't like the way this looks. If the you know, they should get a second opinion, you know, and go to somebody, go somewhere else to look to see what other options are. And, you know, costs can be a factor, and sometimes it can be very expensive to do something that can be done not as expensive in an expensive way, but maybe a more simpler way.
Well said. Well said. That's something that we can all do, and that's something that we should, you know, work into most factors of our healthcare, getting a second opinion, and certainly anything related to cosmetics as well. Well, that's going to do it for us today. On behalf of Dr. Macon Singletary, I'm Jason Kong, thanking you so much for listening to The Gum Guru.
If you would like to know more about ways to make sure your smile is healthy or more information on any of the treatments in today's discussion, check out their website at northraleighperio.com. If you have other questions you'd like to have answered on the Gum Guru podcast, send them to contact@northraleighperio.com.